This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Did he hit Austin?
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Just want to do things my own way, you know.
Don't look now, but it's in the news. Time to make up your mind, time to choose. But I see nothing to gain and nothing to lose. I could swear I've read this book before. When I put it down, I didn't look for more. But now that's all I see there in the store. I don't want to walk like other people walk.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here with you on the P2 Podcast. Broadcasting to you in beautiful high-definition audio, or something quite like it. From beautiful Trinidad World Recording Studios, my beautiful studio here in Fort Worth, Texas, where the guitars hang on the wall, beckoning to be played, speaking forth to be picked up, to have a great tune or lick just coaxed out of it. Oh, you too can record here, folks. I don't care if you're just starting out or if you're a pro. It doesn't matter. We do all kinds of albums for all kinds of budgets. Just shoot me an email. You got to start there, phil@philpritchett.com. Or just call me, 817-733-5256. Check out the new big ad we got in the new Best in Texas magazine. Trinidad World Recording Studios. Or maybe you record some tracks in your basement or your buddy's studio. You're like, yeah, you know, we like what we got, but we just need a little more. Send me a hard drive with your tracks, man. I'll throw it in, fly it into the system here. Add some guitars, keyboards, background vocals, tambourines. Oh, geez. Freaky loops and effects, whatever. I'll mix it, master it, send it back to you. You'll love it, man. Just ask our friend Donnie Waits and others out there that we've done that for. Fun way to do a record. Well, thanks so much, folks, for joining us here today. Phil here, thrilled to have you. Thrilled to have you, as always. I hope you got your cover ideas in for the five-song REM EP, me and Rodney Parker. If you haven't, you still got a little time left. We're going to get this thing out very, very soon. Thank you. Thanks to all of you, your submissions out there. We've seen some very creative ones from sketches, from a balled up napkin with some words written on it, to doctored photographs, to rip-offs of other covers, and all things in between. But we got a lot of cool stuff, man. I was impressed with what everybody, and I like that some of you guys who maybe aren't like big designers, just, you know, someone who hobbies around with stuff, you know, just send me something off your iPhone or something. But it was cool. So keep them coming. You got a little time left here. We're going to wrap this up here in about a week. An unofficial date, but go ahead and get it to me. Shoot it to phil@philpritchett.com, and we'll decide on a winner. Load the winner down with credits and free stuff, etc. REM EP, Trinidad Tribute : REM. Just incorporate that in the title, Phil Pritchett and Rodney Parker, and you'll be all set. Well, 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 what's on your mind, Phil? What's on your mind? Where have you been? What have you been doing? Well, a few weeks ago, we went to had a festival-type weekend. We played at Sammy Palooza on campus down there at Sam Houston State in Huntsville. Great time down there. Then we just hightailed it to Lubbock. Yes, from Huntsville. Can you believe it? Crikey, crikey. What a haul. But we loved it, man. Then we played Rowdy Fest up there in Lubbock. With all our Texas Radio Free Texas folks and gosh, so many other people up there at the Buffalo Springs Lake. Man, what a neat little lake up there. I had some horror stories from Buffalo Springs lakes over the years. I played one where me and Jack Ingram were pelted with beer one time. There was one we played and nobody got paid. And there was one we played where I told these stories to the band on the way out there. They were horrified with the thoughts of what they were getting into. Yeah, I mean, we played this one gig out there one time. Now, this wasn't down by the water. The water's actually very nice. Some neat little houses down there, a little lake. And the new amphitheater is really nice they have down there at Buffalo Springs Lake outside of Lubbock. That's where we played. It was a great event. Thanks for bringing us in, folks. Great time. But we played some, I guess it's way up outside the lake, man, up on the plateau or something up there where the wind blows like 60 miles an hour. Oh, and we played one with this kid lost everything he had, poor guy. He couldn't pay any of the bands. It was raining. There was mud everywhere. Then we did that big fraternity cook-off out there they have every year, which is always a lot of fun. But, man, that was like you start playing at like 7 in the morning. It's one of these crazy deals. Like you load in at like, 2 in the morning and start playing at 6, and we showed up and just everybody's asleep and it's raining and I'm just running through, ankle deep mud in the dark pouring rain, just looking for Jeff or whoever's supposed to pay us. Just, hey man, is this deal going off? Oh, just a disaster. But they're always doing events out there. So man, we were thrilled to be out there at Buffalo Springs Lake this time on a beautiful day, a crisp, clear fall day, and have a great show out there for the folks. And, yeah, they talk about having that rowdy fest maybe up there at the same location every year. We hope they do that and hope to be a part of it. Fun times were had by all. But I want to go back to this Sammy Palooza show. It was a university-sponsored event. We were playing right outside the Coliseum there. I joked about how we wanted to play in the Coliseum. We got close, but not quite there. But that's all right. We were on the neat little outdoor stage there, had a great show. But kind of the buzz was that there was this band playing after us who was kind of a speed metal band. I was like, oh man, that'd be kind of interesting. So I was excited to check it out. And some other bands played before us, so we played our set. Man, we had some people out there that knew all the words to the songs, and so I was thrilled to see that. We hadn't played Huntsville in forever since we played at the Jolly Fox and some places like that down there. So we had a great time. We were just playing like 5 to 6 or something, and then we were having to drive home that night. And so this band's from Fort Worth, man. I didn't catch their name. They're from Fort Worth, speed metal band. I was like, all right, cool. I love watching those dudes play fast. But man, I was not prepared for what I saw, and I knew what it was gonna be, and it just scared me to death because it's happening. I'm just getting old, man. I'm getting old a little bit. And I, even through, up until now, I felt like I could explain anything someone else found, amusing. And fans out there, email me, phil@philpritchard.com. Email me your thoughts. I want to get your feedback on this. As I keep telling the band, I sound like Frank Sinatra complaining about Mick Jagger. Just, who wants to listen to that noise? You got to be kidding me. And, and that's what I sound like. And I know that, but man, when I say these guys came out and they're really nice backstage, they're like real nice. And they get on stage, dude, and it is just that, and dude, these kids were just going crazy, just moshing it up into it, man. Rock and roll, which I love. You all know that. As much as everybody wanted to kind of like, the Sex Pistols or Nirvana or Metallica, even if I wasn't into some of it, I'd still go, man, but it's raw energy and stuff. And I guess that applies to this stuff too. I know it does. It's just that pure, angst. But dude, this stuff, and we hear it all the time, and I have a hard time taking it seriously. I listen to it and I try to discern what's going on. And apart from just the raw, angst of the whole thing. I mean, dude, this stuff just makes, but Metallica had that. I don't know, to make a bad comparison. But dude, Metallica, and this makes Metallica sound like Herman's Hermits or the Monkees or something. Exilite. Hey, enter night. Do, 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 do. There's little guitar riffs and a little melody and a little chorus and, I mean, it's heavy though, man. When that stuff came out, it was like, dude, like Highway to Hell or Smells Like Teen Spirit. you know, yeah, to some old guy, it just sounds like noise. But to us, it was music, you know? And I know that's what's going on here. But I don't know, man. Maybe I've just crossed the threshold. I just can't. Because people, you know, young guys just go, man, I'm really into that stuff. I'm just like, man, I'm trying to see the appeal. I can, you know, I wasn't the biggest hip-hop guy in the world, but I can still see the appeal of it, you know, just the lifestyle, you know, lyrics, the irreverence, the beats, you know. I'm kind of like, well, I can see why young people would be into it. But, man, I don't know, man, the screamo metal. I'm not talking, like I said, metallic. I'm talking just that. I mean, just like that for 30 minutes, an hour. We're loading out, dude. And I was going crazy. I was like, man, these guys are nice. They've got their fans here, obviously. I can't take it, you know? But the fact that just people flock to it, dude, is interesting to me. I know it's the same old deal, but man, it's like someone telling me, Phil, look, 2 + 2 = 7. And I'm nodding my head. I'm going, I know, okay. I know I need to come around to that. That's just how it is now. But I don't believe it. Does that make any sense? I don't believe it. I don't believe it's taken seriously. I'm just like, I can't take it seriously. I'm trying to. You know, if some dude just walks around and farts in a microphone and people are like, what is this? What is this? Man, I could say, look, it's not something I would listen to, okay? But, you know, I can see why some people would think it's funny. Or why people would like this kind of music. And, you know, but the only thing I can explain, man, is just the thrash death stuff. Is I'm like, man, you would just have to be so full of rage or hatred. I don't know. I don't know how to. We didn't want to all actually go to hell on the highway, did we? We were removed from it somewhat. And maybe some of the listeners of this stuff is too. I don't know. I'm just confused by it, and I'm confused by my feelings of being old. Like I said, I sound like Frank Sinatra complaining about Mick Jagger. Who listens to that crap? But, man, it was just bludgeoning, man. Unrelenting. I mean, it's kind of like, and everyone says, and I accept that I've met some young guys who are really into Simon and Garfunkel or Death Cab for Cutie. You know, love of mine, Broody. Then they also listen to this, to the screamo stuff, the metal. Speed metal, man, death metal, and I'm just like, man, how can you listen to that and also get into this? Like, well, man, it's just my preference, you know, 2 + 2 = 7, right? But the other thing is, I mean, it's so abrasive, man. It's so painful to sit there and listen to it, and maybe that's the whole appeal. But you know, I likened it to going to a spa, you know, and you say, well, Phil, do you like to lay down on a table and have a you know, preferably a nice looking woman give you a rub down. I'm like, well, sure, that'd feel great. What if we put some hot stones on your back, you know, like you see in the spas? And, you know, I might shrug my shoulders and go, well, you know, it's that those stones are really hot, you know, but yeah, I mean, I can see I'm maybe not into it, but I can definitely see why someone would like some hot pressure on their back. I mean, sure, that makes total sense. You know, I don't know. Not for me, but I can see the appeal. But then if the guy says, look, what if you lay it on the table and I just came in here with a baseball bat and just started hitting you as hard as I can on the head and the back and everywhere else? You know, what about that? Then I think at some point I would just say, man, I don't know. Yeah, you know, maybe some people find that enjoyable. I don't know why they would. That seems very abrasive and painful and an awful thing to endure. But I try to keep it up in mind. Some people find it very, very fulfilling. But again, I'm having a hard time believing that 2 + 2 = 7. It is music after all. And, man, I just kind of came to the deal. I was just like, well, look, I'm 40 years old. I don't have to understand it. I'm not going to understand it. Just like, you know, my dad didn't understand Nirvana or something like that. And so, you know, that's just where it stops. But it was a tough moment for me. I got to tell you. Loading out of Huntsville and seeing this stuff take over, and man, it just really got me to thinking about, man, where's all this headed? I mean, what's the next? What are these guys listening to this stuff? They're going to be 40. What are their kids going to be listening to? That's so abrasive they can't possibly understand it. You know, it's going to be it's not going to be 2 + 2 = 7. Then it's going to be 2 + 2 = the letter M. Muse on that. Well, Let's move to our next segment here, shall we? I'm already depressed talking about all this. And if I offend any of you fans out there, speed metal and screamo, I'm sorry, but hey, that's where we come down on it. A new experience. You know, these Texas music guys, we don't get to play with bands like that very much. But a bunch of nice guys, and man, they had a big following. That's why a lot of people there to see them. There's no doubt about that. The future, man. Maybe a hint to see maybe where my take my direction maybe on the next record. Who knows? Well, last week we enjoyed our good friend John Reynolds coming down the hall, our resident film director. He's in the building again today. I'm going to try to grab him to come in here to discuss Blu-ray, the golden age of Blu-ray, and dying media, and Netflix, and maybe some other movie talk stuff coming out, etc. He's always got a lot of interesting thoughts on the movie business, entertainment. We do it all here on the podcast. So, John Reynolds, film director, coming up in our next segment. Stay tuned.
Never seen my whip and my knife clear the way. You better keep that lightsaber handy there, Luke, my friend. We're not taking any prisoners today. Well, it's alright, my buddy, I'm watching your back just to keep an eye on mine too. 'Cause although we're outnumbered and under attack, we'll show the bad guys what the bad boys can do. Hunting for treasure is always a dangerous charade. A water balloon I'm holding is really a hand grenade. Yeah! I wanna stop being myself for a while, but I don't wanna do it alone. You can be Luke Skywalker and
fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. Trinidad World Recording Studios, my beautiful studio here in Fort Worth, Texas. Yes, yes is the answer to your question. You can and should record here. 817-733-5256. Or shoot me an email, phil@philpritchett.com. What are you waiting for? Oh, you've recorded some tracks in your buddy's garage. They sound okay. I don't know. We need some harmonies. We need some organ. We need a little guitar on there. Look, put it on a hard drive. Send it to me in the mail. I'll mix and master and overdub the whole thing. Send it back to you. It's almost as good. Almost as good as just coming in here yourself. So many ways to do it. Shoot me an email, phil@philpritchett.com. Well, man, got some email last week about having John Reynolds talking about our friend here, talking about the Live at Billy Bob's DVDs he's been doing. So exciting having all shooting stuff with Billy Joe Shaver and Corey Morrow and Brandon Ryder and folks, borrowing rugs from Trinidad World Recording on the video shoots. So he is back with us here today from across the hall once again. John Reynolds, thanks for coming by, John.
Yeah, no problem. I was here. I thought I could come in and make something
and add some. Well, we were talking. We ran out of time last week. We were gonna talk about your filming of the DVDs, Live at Billy Bob's, of course. And I'm also interested to get your take on modern industry trends, movies, entertainment. You know, we're all into that here.
Yeah.
And you and I casually discuss things so often here in the kitchen at Trinidad. But yeah, what's your you're talking about? This is the year of the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
The year of the Blu-ray. Now, what do you mean by that? You were talking about that earlier. we didn't get to it last week.
What kind of came up is that, you know, you asked me if I've seen any movies, and my thought is no. I mean, I'm too busy to see movies.
Right.
So what do I do? I mean, I watch, you know, Blu-rays. I'm a Blu-ray fan.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of coined this as the golden age of Blu-rays.
So this is DVDs, but even better.
Yeah, these are the HD, 1080p, you know, beautiful, pristine images, you know. And what makes it the golden age is that we're really getting close to the end of the physical media
to where they could stream,
you know,
HD video off Netflix. I mean, is that...
Yeah, online, everything.
I mean, everything.
Owning something and putting it in, you know how that's dying, right?
So your point is just there's a rash of box sets of physical material hitting the market.
People are trying to get it out so they can cash in on the last couple Christmases before that's not happening anymore. You know,
I heard guys on the radio talking about there's a big Rolling Stones Blu-ray. It was a concert here in Fort Worth, like from like 1975.
Yeah.
Coming out. Oh, you about that?
I know
Will
exactly
Rogers.
What it is.
It was Will Rogers. Yeah. Like, I mean, he played here. It was maybe the Some Girls era.
I know exactly. I'm looking at the cover of my head right now.
But it's that's coming out. There's like a six DVD set or something. I was like, God, it's all kinds of great.
They're also re-releasing Some Girls, right? Which is coming out. But everybody is getting their big albums.
Emptying it all out. Yeah.
Yeah. What do they call them? Their tentpole albums.
That's
out the door with these uber mega
posters.
None
bigger. We laughed the other day about your band, U2.
My band, your band, our band, the people's band.
they come out with the Blu-ray HD never before released Ak Chung Baby.
Yeah, what they're coming out with is
a box set.
It's a box set.
Is it their whole career?
No. It's just an Ak Chung Baby box set.
Okay.
So it's the Uber fan box set.
Right.
It's got
posters.
Yeah.
A pair of Bono glasses.
It comes with his actual glasses. It comes with everything. I mean,
are these glasses that he wears, or at least anoints with his sweat or something?
I think so. They have the same brand. Holy water.
Yeah.
And he blessed
He's
them.
He's been blessed by Bono. Yeah, right. So you get literally a pair of the glasses.
Yeah.
The album, like all the demos, I mean, just everything, right? Just everything they did.
I think it's like six CDs and six DVDs.
Good
so
grief.
It's the Zooropa album, which is one of my favorite albums.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, combined with it, with everything. But I mean, this thing is insane. It takes up, if you look online, it takes up, you know, a whole table worth of stuff
material.
You get. So you get stuff. But what we're talking about is an insane price of what this thing is.
Yeah, how did it get? It was a. Because I remember thinking, like, man, this could be like, you know, $100-$150.
Mm-hmm.
And then you brought me in and showed me what they were charging. How much was it?
Yeah, at that time, it was over $600 for this thing.
But that includes a little piece of Larry Mullen Jr.'s finger.
Right, exactly. Exactly, yeah.
In a jar of formaldehyde.
Mm-hmm.
That was outrageous. I was like, wait a minute, $600?
Who can buy that?
I mean, but you were even the super fan. You were even kind of going,
I drew the line at like $300 is where I was like, that's as much I would possibly pay for something.
And didn't they break it up?
Well, now they have a deluxe edition, and it's 160,
okay,
and it's all the CDs and DVDs and a cool box and book.
Yeah.
But you know, you don't get all the other stuff. I don't know what I'm gonna do with that stuff anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Just walk around wearing Bono's glasses.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Carry Larry Mullen's finger around in a jar. Right. Check it out. And a pickle jar.
Right.
Well, man, what's the deal? Yeah. We recently went to the brouhaha with Netflix. You know, I was just a big believer of Netflix. Loved it. DVD. Occasionally,
right.
Then I get onto the Wii. You were the one who told me, "Hey man, you can stream it through the Wii."
Mm-hmm.
And I knew this, but I was like, "Wow, that's kind of complicated." You're like, "Man, just follow the prompts." And so we did that. So we love it in our house, man. Yeah. We got, especially with kids shows, we can just pull up.
We're Apple TV fans.
Bob
we have
Builder,
Apple TV
you know. Just, right, yeah, so we do that and streaming, and it's great. But man, so then Netflix comes out with this. Well, you got to join. What's it called? Like. Burn.com.
Quickster,
if you want DVDs.
Quickster,
and
Burn.com would not be what they're trying
to
say.
So I immediately dumped all the DVDs. I mean, we'll just do streaming for $9.99 a month, or $7.99 or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's like $8, yeah.
So, but man, they still don't have all the stuff on there. I mean, there's stuff on there that kind of determines I watch.
You can't expect them to have it all. I mean, I don't know. Since this is sort of the industry I'm in, I spend a lot of time reading it, but you just can't expect them to have everything because of the licenses they have to pay for everything.
Well, I guess those DVD, those movie rights holders, they're still getting money for
DVD,
so they don't want to just stream just for pennies online.
Right.
But man, eventually, isn't that where movies is going?
Everything's going to go
that's
that
the
way.
Hell that all of us music guys are in.
Exactly.
We're not selling big CDs for $17 anymore. We're just getting pennies off of iTunes.
Yeah, per song.
You know, per song or per album. I mean,
and that's what's happened with the movie.
Yeah, it just takes, it just moves behind it a little bit.
Yep. And that's why everybody's putting out all these box sets we were talking about. That's why all the Blu-rays are coming out, these great, you know, transfers. Everybody's trying to grab onto those last dollars before they can.
Right.
You know?
Well, what happens to the physical movie theaters? You think
I think those will always be around.
But will they have to be 3D and everything?
You know,
will
I think that 3D thing, as they've seen in some trends, is that that's kind of just a fad. I think 3D will be around, but not always. I don't think everything's going 3D.
But you haven't seen anything? You really haven't seen anything old or new?
I have not seen anything
in the
theater. You
haven't gone back to watch The Godfather
Yeah. Like I said, they just released a great box set of Citizen Kane, which, you know,
all
the film nerds out there, that's your thing. They also released the Star Wars on Blu-ray, which...
Yeah, that's gotten a lot. Have you watched it? Have they doctored it up? Has he put more stuff in the background?
He put all kinds of things in it.
Oh, gosh. Does that make you mad, or is it okay?
No, man, you know, I've got quotes up now. As an artist, I mean, I should be able to do whatever I want to my films. I think people seem to think because it was their childhood or something they grew up on, that they have ownership over it, and they own this somehow.
Yeah.
But they really don't. They own those memories. It doesn't change their childhood. It doesn't make them, that not happen. It doesn't erase the past. He can change whatever he wants.
He can, but is there some line that needs to be, you can't draw it.
Here's
the question.
Man.
Well, man, cause I heard, the ZZ Top song LaGrange.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yep. But man, it's just got the most 70s, just I just so used to hearing it. And then a few years ago, this was a long time ago, in the 90s or something, it just goes and the drums just come in sounding like Phil Collins on In the Year Tonight. I'm like, oh, they went back and jacked a bunch of processing on the drums to make it sound like the 90s.
They probably just remixed it.
They remastered it. They go back and mess with the Beatles recordings. Kurt and I, a while back, did the Beatles masters. They redid everything.
But it doesn't.
What if Da Vinci was still alive, or some guy like that?
But it's his painting.
It's up to him. Yeah, so he can go back, and it's not all of our painting at some point. I guess it's not.
It's not. Your memories are yours, and everything else that's present.
But Da Vinci can say, it always bothered me how the Mona Lisa, she wasn't really smiling. I really want to show her teeth. He does that, and that's just going to make everybody
mad.
Puts
a Joker face on her.
Yeah, but that's his right to do it?
It's his right to do it.
So what if he just takes an axe to it? Fine.
That too.
I mean, if George Lucas,
unless somebody else owns it.
What if George
Lucas? The deal is that he owns it.
Yeah.
So if someone else
owns
it, it's different. Okay. Right? If he'd have sold the rights to it, then it's different.
I guess
he owns it. It's his thing.
I guess that's true.
An independent film
George Lucas,
owned by him.
If you're watching Luke get his hand cut off in The Empire Strikes Back, but this time Lucas just goes, man, we have the modern technology. He's gonna duck that shot. And
he's gonna have a digital
through
hand.
A back flip and a karate kick. And all of a sudden there it is. I mean, that's fine with that.
Greedo shoots first, right?
That's right. Yeah, that was when Han Solo shot Greedo
first
in the bar.
Yeah.
He just shot him in cold blood.
Yeah.
But in the redo, he shot first.
Yeah.
See, I can't remember seeing
they've,
that.
They've shaved, here's gonna show you. Right now I'm getting ready to lose all credibility to anybody thinking I'm cool.
This makes you a film guy.
They shaved off a few frames on the new one, so it's kind of, they shoot at the same time now. So he's even changed it again.
I see. Kind of a chow.
Yeah, exactly.
But I was watching the Star Wars redo. I guess the first time he redid it. And
all of a sudden, there's
stuff in the background walking around and all kinds of like, whoa, wait,
He's consistently changed that film every time been shown.
Yeah, yeah.
So the original theatrical release to when it was re-released, he changed things. From any DVD or VHS released, even as it was released in theaters over and over again. Remember, because this was back when, a movie would come out one summer, successful, and they would re-release it, 2 years later in the summer again, the same movie. Before people had, VCRs and DVD players.
Yeah.
If you wanted to go see Star Wars, it didn't play on TV. It would re-release back into the theater again.
That's right.
And so this
That's
happened.
How Disney did it forever.
That's how Disney. Same concept. But every time he would re-release something, he would tweak it a little bit. He was tweaking it. He added, I don't know if it was The Crawl or different things. He tweaked it. He changed the name from Star Wars to A New Hope the second time it went back in. So he's
The interesting thing, though, is I think it always does make your fans and your audience suspicious. I don't think it out and out pleases your audience to do that. I think that's probably true. That's why I think it's a suspect move and a little selfish, because he's doing it just for himself, which he has every right to do, but it does not make the fans go, man, awesome, he's messed with it, it's even better. No, they're going to go into it very suspicious. At best they'll say, well, it looks pretty cool, it didn't mess with the story, I wasn't too bothered by it. That's about as good a reaction you're going to get on something like mm-hmm. that. Remastering the Beatles, that's about as good as a reaction you're going to get right. from it. Whereas, I don't know. I'm old days, Phil, you know, that, you know, good old days syndrome. Just mm-hmm. you kind of just leave it right. back there. I mean, is AC/DC going to go back? And we really want to put, you know,
yeah,
female vocal horns on Highway to Hell. You know, just, you know, Mutt Lang, we just didn't have the budget, you know. I'll just right. be like, is this better now? I'd love to. Yeah. How much could I love Highway to Hell or Star Wars? I'm like, we love it. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. All we want to do is see it. But it's so they mess with it, and I don't know. I wonder at what point it starts to. I mean, I guess you can always go back and watch the original version on your VHS or something.
Yeah, I guess so.
See, the next thing he'll do, mark my words, he'll get too far into this deal, mm-hmm. and there'll be a re-release, a streaming HD, beautiful, never before seen of the original cut.
Why not?
We're gonna take all the stuff out
and see what you Han originally Solo saw shoots in 1978. First. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it's so clear you can see the strings holding up the asteroids. I mean, you know,
you see the potato yeah. turning around in the corner of the shot.
That's right.
Yes.
And that'll be the new kitsch thing to do. Everyone will go, "Hell, cool." Oh, maybe he's a genius just for keeping it fresh, keeping people on their toes, maybe.
Well, I mean, whatever it is. I mean, he's successful at what he's doing. He's constantly kept new kids involved in the series
yeah.
and that's every right. generation. I mean, He might be making some enemies from some friends, from fans, but yeah. he's also making a heck of a lot more fans than he is losing fans.
George Lucas, what a legend! What a legend! Well, what is anything on the horizon? I used to always, growing up, I'd always kind of know that. Oh man, there's, you know, Cruise is making this movie about a fighter pilot. I don't know. You kind of have some sense of what's going on right. with Hollywood. I feel like I just get surprised when stuff comes out. I don't follow.
Man, everybody, all that stuff's out there on the internet.
It
now.
Is, I mean, but it's so available, I don't follow it or something.
Yeah.
What's the deal there?
I think it's not as a big deal when you find out about something because you find little kernels of information about
right.
a release of something uh-huh. that you know, throughout the whole process of a film being mm-hmm. made now, not just all of a sudden, oh my God, did you see this clip from the new Batman movie?
Yeah.
What it is that you see costume designs, you know, pre-production costume designs
yeah,
2 years before it comes
right,
out.
Right, right.
Yeah,
somebody takes his iPhone and sells it.
There's tons of things that so you're kind of numb to like all of that mm-hmm. happening until it comes out.
Right.
But there aren't things like big event movies anymore that I feel that are big events. I
mean, the space hero stuff. I mean, the superhero stuff. I mean,
yeah, but are they big event? You expect them. You know that this is coming out. It's not like. Right. You know, when the second Star Wars came out, or the second Indiana Jones, or the third Indiana Jones.
So you're sounding like me now. Good old days. Good old days.
It was different.
Oh, man. Well, who knows what's on the horizon? You know, we mentioned on the show a while back that I read an article that a guy said, you know, there aren't – it used to be, you know, whatever Robert Redford was in, or Paul Newman, or, you know, Tom Hanks had his time, Tom Cruise, no matter what they were in, it was a hit. I mean, those guys got 20 million a picture, whatever they got.
Doesn't happen anymore.
And they just said, man, there's no bankable stars.
There's no movie stars.
There's no movie stars in Hollywood. And everyone goes, what do you mean, Johnny Depp? Mm. But the star of Johnny Depp mm-hmm. is Pirates of the Caribbean.
Exactly.
As much as great as Johnny Depp is there, is in those things, if it was Brad Pitt, it still probably would have made as much money.
Right.
Wouldn't you say, the Pirates of the Caribbean?
Because he makes plenty of other films that don't do well.
It would have still done... If it's just his name, that's true. Mm-hmm. The one exception, I tell you, was Will Smith. They said, well, Will Smith's a little different. He's the one guy that seems his worldwide box office gross that if he's in the movie, people will just go, you know, whether he's fighting aliens or playing Muhammad Ali, people will go, hey, it's Will Smith, though. I like him. He's funny or he's a good actor. I'm going to see it. That's very rare these days.
He's also very selective about what –
Yeah.
He does. I mean, he does only a project a year.
Yeah, well, he doesn't do three like all these other
Everybody
guys.
Else is doing so many projects.
Stuff,
so you're not like, I'm waiting to go see the new film of this guy. It just.
And what do you make of my theory that I said this on a previous show, too, that, you know, Redford, Newman, whatever, all you saw of them was in their movies.
Oh, yeah, completely.
You just didn't see them. And so now, not only am I overdosed on Brad Pitt before – any of his movies come out, not that they're not good. I see him every day at the checkout in the grocery mm-hmm. store. Not only that, these stars are always on TV. They're all, if they ever say something stupid or offensive, it's on the internet. They get on there and they start shooting their mouth off about politics or something. Mm-hmm. And it turns people off.
Sure.
I think some of them would be better served just being, Johnny Depp does a pretty good job of this. You don't get a sense of his, I feel like he's not, there's some guys who don't seem to be out there as much. Mm-hmm. And those guys seem to be a little more intriguing to the public. You think there's some truth to that?
I think so. I'm really just bothered by the whole star culture anyway, and the reality shows, and just all the stuff being shoved down your throat on television and magazines and everywhere. I mean, even though I am a big movie fan and I follow all of this,
You're interested in like maybe Daniel Day-Lewis. There's a guy that is sort of a hermit. Emerges with a film, he's going to be Lincoln, right? Already he's going to be Lincoln and Steven Spielberg's Abraham Lincoln. Daniel Day-Lewis. So that's something you kind of go, when's that coming out? I mean, but he's not on Letterman every
he's
night
not everywhere else, right.
talking about the evils of Wall Street or something. You know what I mean? Where people just might go, not this guy again. You know, or I don't know.
I think he's the single most scariest person, I think those were words, that I've ever seen on film the butcher in Gangs of New York.
Worse than There Will Be Blood?
I think he's scarier as the butcher.
Because I haven't seen Gangs of New York, but I have seen There Will Be Blood, which is great. And
Paul Thomas Anderson's
so crazy.
A new film coming out.
Oh, yeah?
And see that, you only hear it's coming out. You don't hear all the stories about
Who's
it.
Who's in it?
We don't know. Yeah. But when that thing comes out, he's the guy. He's the guy.
What were some of his films? Magnolia.
Magnolia, Heartache.
Yeah.
Boogie Nights.
Mm-hmm. The recent one.
There Will Be Blood.
There Will Be
Blood.
But
the one before that is Adam Sandler's in it.
It's a
strange comedy.
Punch Drunk Love.
There you go.
Yeah. I didn't know that was his.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool deal. Yeah. Well, there's a little movie talk, the state of the industry, from our resident filmmaker, director, John Reynolds here. Thanks for joining us here today.
Yeah.
John, coming in, sharing your opinions on the movie industry, all things entertainment. We covered all here on the podcast. Well, that about does it for our show here today, folks. Email me, phil@philpritchett.com. Tell us to come play your party. Man, we love doing it. It is our priority in the playing rock and roll party sphere.
He just wants to go to a party.
Dude, we just want to go to a party.
He just wants to be invited to a party.
People say, man, Phil, you don't want to come play by my pool. I'm like, you're wrong. That is where we want to come play.
Bar mitzvahs, he's there.
Oh, dude, they're always such a blast. We love it. We play all kinds of stuff. Get your family involved. It's a heck of a show, unlike you've seen.
Barn raisings.
That's right. Everything. All kinds of events. Or come record here at the studio, or just send me your tracks, man. I do a lot of mixing and mastering. You know, guys would say, man, I was working on some stuff at home. You know, see what you can add to it, Phil. And I'll send it back and see what they like, certain things, and work on it that way. Phil@philpritchett.com. All you got to do is shoot me an email. I'll get right back to you. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks to John Reynolds for dropping by once again. And we will see all of you here at the same time on the P2 Podcast next week. Y'all have a good week. We'll see you then. Much tougher. If this is the news.